Hey everybody, welcome to week three of UBC virtual online worship. Hope you all are doing well and staying safe, staying connected to each other as you're able to, and we're certainly doing our very best here at church to do the same. If you missed the updates this past week, I did want to let you know that starting this past Wednesday, we have closed the building to all non-essential processes and employees. We do still have people here working on accounting 1 or 2 days a week, so if you're making contributions, please continue to do so as you're able. We've got some other, our phones are being manned, and so if you come into a situation where you or someone you know has a need or could use some assistance, you can call us at the office or you can go ahead and email. Our email is constantly being monitored as well. This coming week, we will continue on Wednesday night with our pastor's Bible study, and so we'd invite you to tune in on Facebook Live, and hopefully you've been catching some of our Lenten devotional videos. All of our staff are chiming in to help out with those, and so we're doing our very best to stay connected, but we want you to stay connected to each other as well, and so continue to pray for one another, reach out to one another through social media and phone calls. And as we enter into our time of worship today, I want you to really focus in on the Lord in whatever context you happen to be, and see if you can find a haven, kind of a sanctuary in time and space, wherever you happen to be at this point during your day. Would you join us now as we begin our worship service together?
'cause it speaks a better word. Let's sing it out. It's singing out in life. It's shouting down the line. It echoes through the night. The precious blood of Christ speaks a better word. Speaks a better word. Your life, a robe of righteousness.
It is your turn.
I am Lord of life.
Amen. It's our turn. All join together.
Thank you.
Well, it's hard to say good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, because I don't know exactly when you'll be watching this, but I do want to say good day to you. And I wanted to lead us through a series of prayers today that may be a little different. It's interesting, when we pray as a group here at the church, it's hard to be interactive with 500 people at a time. But as you gather, maybe on your own as you're listening to the podcast or with a group of friends or maybe online with a group of friends, I want us to do something a little different in our prayer time today, because you can actually pause the video and take some time to pray. So I'm going to lead us through about five different things that we want to pray for today. And at each one, each juncture, I would like for you to stop the video if you're at a place that you can do that, and to pray for each one of these at whatever length you need to do that, and then restart the video. We'll go through five of those as we get through today. Let me open us, and then I'll lead us through each one of these. Lord, we are thankful that we are your children. Being children of the King allows us to come into your presence without any request. We just get to come, sit in your lap, be in your presence, be with you. Father, thank you for that. May your glory shine around us as we enter your presence at this time to lift up these requests. May your presence be known to us. May you guide our prayer. May you help us pray that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. First, let's take a minute and pray for those families that are at home with their kids and trying to figure out school and trying to keep them busy and occupied. So let's pause a minute and pray for our families who are under a different situation, and that God would allow them to use this time to draw closer together. Now let's also pray for those who've had income disruptions through this process. Some may have actually been let go because of the economy issues that are going on. Some may just be not able to work, and maybe their employers are not able to fund them through this process. So there's a lot of income disruptions that we're hearing about, and let's just ask the Lord to be present in those situations and to bring a sense of peace and also provide alternative ways to do that. We have a lot of folks who are bored at home, but we're also hearing a lot of folks who are having to work from home, but who still have some strict guidelines and deadlines and just a lot of things that they have to do and circumstances that they're having to work under. They're very hampered, but yet they still have some critical things to do. And so as we pray this next time, let's pray for those who are having to work under these difficult situations, but still have strong deadlines and those kind of things. Let's pray for those folks that they can be productive and effective in the way that they can handle those, and that the Lord be present to reduce their stress. And of course, we have our health workers who are just exposing themselves to the virus, to a lot of different people. Some are short on equipment, some are short on energy, some are short on personnel. So let's take a moment and pray for our healthcare workers, and just that the every patient that they touch, every person that they come, a coworker they would be involved with, that they would be the presence in the hands of Christ, and that they would sleep well at night. Let's just be very practical. They'd sleep well at night, that they would be guarded against catching the virus, and that they would be able to be the hands and feet of Christ. Lastly, I'd like to pray for churches, not just UBC, but other churches. Almost all of us have interactions with churches through our kids, through our parents, through our friends, through our neighbors. Some of us are involved when we travel and regularly and meet with relatives that we go to church with them. For those churches that you're affiliated with or that you're aware of, I'd like for us to be very specific in praying for those churches. This is a difficult time for our church staff, and income, of course, has been affected by this, as it has for everyone. So we're also going to ask for wisdom as we lead the churches, as churches are being led, that good choices are being made, that the Lord would provide wisdom and how to do that, and that people would be generous out of their very needs. And so let's pray for those churches that were affiliated during this period. Lord, again, we thank you that we could come into your presence, and though we may be socially distanced from others, we know that we are not distanced from you. Father, I pray that you would make your presence known to each of us, that we would be able to walk out of our loneliness and our places of isolation in a way that would bring you glory. Lord, as we've done this prayer time, as you brought people to mind, help us to reach out to them, to make phone calls, to do online meetings, to do whatever means that we have to reach out. Father, those names that you brought to our mind during this prayer time, Father, help us to be faithful with those names and to do that all for your kingdom and for your glory. We know, Lord, that you work all of these things together for our good, but for your kingdom purposes. Lord, help us to see your face in this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Conquer the
I know you are very appreciative, as am I, of our musicians and all the hard work that they do, as well as our communications department during this season of quarantine. And our communications department have really, really been working overtime, trying to make sure our services are available and that they're done with high quality. And so if you pray, as you pray, be sure and give the Lord thanks for everybody that's contributing to helping our church stay connected during these peculiar days. So this week marks our eighth Sunday in this current series considering the year of opposition towards Jesus and his ministry. I was looking back to think at all of the reasons that we've covered that people opposed Jesus or why they criticized him. They criticized him for refusing to condemn people, for accepting outcasts. They opposed him, claiming that he healed people through the devil's power, which we talked about how that's sometimes that's the case. People just look for any reason to avoid God or avoid Jesus. They opposed him for criticizing their traditions. They opposed him for not respecting their religious practices. They opposed him, as we saw last week, for not taking their side when it came to political issues or societal issues. As you're going to see today, they criticized Jesus for asking them to do hard things. And then next week, as we move 1 week closer to Easter, you're going to see one of the biggest reasons people opposed Jesus was because he claimed to be God. Nine reasons in this series before we get to Easter Sunday on some of the reasons why opposition arose towards Jesus and his ministry, his teachings and his practices. Today, what I want you to recognize is people at times opposed Jesus just because he asked them to do something they were uncomfortable doing. The rich young ruler who came and said, "What must I do?" And Jesus said, "Follow the commandments." He said, "I've done all of these things." And then Jesus told him, "One thing you lack, sell all you have and give to the poor and come follow me." He asked that rich young ruler to do something that was really hard for him, and he didn't. He chose to walk away. Our first text today is in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. It says, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had to say. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.'" Jesus asks us to do hard things, and in a lot of cases, people will use that as a reason to oppose him or simply just to walk away. In this case, the Mary and Martha passage, we recognize Martha was a doer. Mary was not necessarily not a doer, but in that moment, she was a relationship person. She wanted to sit and listen to what Jesus had to say. I've talked a couple of weeks ago, and it's been on my mind over and over the last few weeks about how this community challenge is so different from what we're used to dealing with when hurricanes come into our community. This is we are largely a church of action. People are quick to come out and to provide support and provide help. And when a hurricane comes through and what's needed is rescue and clean out and repair and restoration, so many members of our church, man, that is on point with what we how we're wired and how we live our lives. And so this passage is not saying it's a bad thing to be a Martha. It's not a bad thing to be a hard worker, to be disciplined, to be a doer, to be a fixer. That's not a bad thing. This current crisis, how do you get out and do that whenever we're supposed to be socially distanced from one another, keep 6 feet away, not have groups larger than 10 people, cancel all of our programming? It's hard for everybody to rally together in the worship center and bring our tools and go out and help dig people out, because that's not what is needed. What's needed is for us to stay home, to simplify our lives for a period, to do our very best to let professionals and necessary employees continue doing their work while we try to rein the effects of this this pandemic in. It's a very, very different skill set, and it's been interesting to watch. A lot of people have embraced it. Some people have embraced it begrudgingly, and there are still people out there who refuse to do so. But Mary and Martha, in that context, the dynamics, Jesus is not saying that one is good and one is bad, but he's saying that each one of those have their places and their times. They have their moments. There's a time when Martha would be right to have Mary get up and help if Martha was being lazy and if the most important thing was preparing for a guest or getting ready to have a party or in our current context to work towards a matter of social justice or to help with the hurricane clean out. There are times when that personality or that skill set or that discipline is exactly what's called for. But in this moment, what Jesus is saying is that what Mary was wired to do, and we're making assumptions that these were their personalities, may have just been their choices. But what Jesus is saying is in that moment, Mary's choice was the better choice. To sit and to dialogue or to listen to what Jesus had to say, Jesus wasn't going to be there very often. He wasn't going to be there many times. And Mary's choice was the better one. The first point that I want you to recognize here is committing time or energy or resources to following Jesus can be a hard thing to do. What Jesus is asking Martha to do here was hard for her. She would have had to have given up time doing something that she felt to be more important in order to give consideration to the possibility that what Mary was doing actually in that moment was more important, sacrificing a little bit of what made her comfortable or her natural tendencies in that. Committing time, energy, resources to following Jesus can be a hard thing. For us, there are things, if you've grown up in a family or a church tradition where making financial contributions, being generous with your money towards churches, towards nonprofit organizations, towards individuals, there are a lot of people who have grown up in that environment, and that can be very easy to do. They've learned it. Maybe they're wired that way a little bit more easily. On the other hand, making a sacrifice of two or three hours to serve with a ministry to help someone in need, that might be much more difficult. But you might find another person in the church or in the community at large, and their perspective is exactly the opposite. Giving up 2 or 3 hours to help someone is easy for them to do, but parting with financial resources may be very, very difficult. The point here is, this may have been easy for Mary, hard for Martha. The point is, regardless of your personality, regardless of your preferences, regardless of your experiences, regardless of your skill set, in the course of following Jesus, there are going to be things that come very easy to you, very natural to you, and there are going to be things that prove to be hard for you. Following Jesus, you're going to come face to face with things that are hard. He asks hard things of us. We don't really know how this narrative ends. We don't know if Mary got angry and huffed back to the kitchen to finish continuing meal preparation, or if she recognized what Jesus had to say and left some of those other tasks for later and entered into fellowship, communication, conversation with her sister and with Jesus himself. We don't know how the story ends. We know that Jesus was asking of Martha something that was hard for her to do. We see it over and over and over again throughout the Gospels. He asks hard things of people. And in this case, committing your time, committing your energy, committing your resources towards following Jesus at times can prove to be really, really difficult. From Luke 10, if you turn over to Luke chapter 14, we'll see some other accounts of Jesus asking hard things from us. Chapter 14, verse 28. Actually, before we read that passage, I did have our communications folks pull off of a YouTube video. It's just a kid version of the Mary and Martha story. And so I'm going to have them play that right now to emphasize the first point of our message before we move on to point number two. So check out this video real quick.
God's story, Mary and Martha. So part of God's story is about Mary and Martha, and it goes like this. Mary and Martha were sisters. We don't know a whole lot about them, but we do know they lived in Martha's house in a town called Bethany. Mary and Martha were really good friends with Jesus, so when they invited friends over to hang out, sometimes Jesus came over. Kids, what would you do if Jesus was coming to your house? Well, one time, Jesus came over for dinner at Mary and Martha's. When he arrived, the sisters got everything ready. Or rather, Martha got everything ready. Mary wasn't helping at all. She just sat at the feet of Jesus, listening to him talk. When Martha saw Mary sitting there, she was furious. She wanted everything to be perfect for Jesus, and she thought that Mary should help. Eventually, Martha got so mad that she stomped over to where Mary was sitting. She didn't even talk to Mary. Instead, she said, "Jesus, my sister has left me to do the work by myself. Don't you care? Tell her to help me." When Jesus heard Martha, he wasn't mad. He just wanted to be with her. He said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Kids, that one thing is Jesus." See, Jesus didn't mind that Martha was making dinner. That's a nice thing to do. The problem was, Martha didn't realize how special it was to be spending time with Jesus. She was too focused on making dinner. Imagine planning a big party for all your friends, but you got so caught up in getting ready, you didn't even get to have fun with them, which was the whole reason you had them over. That's kind of like what happened to Martha. Anyway, as for Mary, she wasn't being lazy. She just cared about Jesus more than anything else. Maybe more than she cared about what Martha thought of her, and maybe definitely more than making a perfect dinner for her friends. Of course, Jesus likes it when we help our sisters, or our friends, or our moms, or our dads, or our brothers, or our cousins, or anyone else who needs it. But he told us that the most important thing we can do is love him and God with all our hearts. And the second most important thing we can do is love others. You can read about it in Matthew 22:36 in the Bible. Martha wasn't loving God or Mary, so Jesus encouraged her to act like her sister. Mary had a chance to sit at Jesus' feet, and she did. And that's the story of Mary and Martha.
I hope you enjoyed that. It's kind of a break from listening to me talk and maybe an opportunity to engage those of you that have kids at home, engage your kids in our time together today. Jesus asks us to do hard things, and sometimes that goes outside of our comfort zone for sure. Moving on to our second text and our second observation, Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 28, read along with me. Jesus, in telling a parable, he says, "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will they not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if they have enough money to complete it? For if they lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule them, saying, 'This person began to build and was not able to finish.'" Or, verse 31, "Suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." Cannot be my disciple. That last verse creates a tie back to that first point. Committing time, energy, resources, our heart, our life. Committing those things to following Jesus can be a hard thing to do. This passage, though, also carries the thinking a step further for me. The second point that I wanted you to consider this week is persevering through tough times can be a hard thing. We're in the middle of one right now, and it's harder for some maybe than others, depending on your own context. Persevering through hard times can be tough. What I found in my own life, what I found in talking about experiences with other people and observing in the church world, is sometimes beginning new things is a whole lot easier than finishing things. Beginning something new, it can require a little bit of a little bit of risk. I'm not saying beginning new things is always easy. It can involve some risk, and can make you uncomfortable. It takes some courage at times to begin something brand new. But also at the very beginning of anything, there can be excitement, enthusiasm, motivation, incentive, why, bright eyes and big dreams. Beginning something can be much, much easier than finishing something. And I know many Christians experience at the very beginning of entering into this following Jesus, the language is very full of forgiveness. You can be forgiven. You can be restored. You can have this connection, this relationship with God. You can have assurance for eternity. There are blessings in this life as God walks with you and as you grow in peace and in joy, all of which are true. All of which are true. To Jesus' point, when you start to build a house or you start to build a tower or you start to plan something for the future, you probably wouldn't make those plans, aspire to those plans, if there weren't rewards along the way, if there weren't benefits to doing so. And you start the process of thinking about your dream home or starting a business, and you dreams are what drive you forward. They push you forward, the hope of something new and fresh and exciting and successful. But Jesus is he's pointing out the fact that all of those things at the very beginning, once you get into the process, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. The process of accomplishing something difficult, at times you're going to start slogging through mud. You're going to come to obstacles. You're going to have to deal with opposition in Jesus' own context. And so he's saying, in parable form, if you're going to start building a house, you need to stop and check and make sure that you can complete it. If you're a king and you're going to go to war, you need to stop and consider if you're capable of reaching the end. And then he compares those to being a disciple. Listen, few of us probably would come into the Christian life if there weren't incentives and reasons, positives for doing so. But I'm not so sure we do a good job at the beginning communicating with people that at times in the Christian life, not everything goes well. At times in the Christian life, you still have to deal with loss. You still have to deal with failure. You still have to deal with disappointment. Even within the Christian community, you will be let down by other people. You can be hurt by other people. And Jesus is trying to get his disciples and his audience to recognize that if you're not willing to persevere through those difficult times, maintain your faith whenever the going gets tough, if you're not committed to doing everything you can to press through those scenarios, then maybe it's a road you shouldn't commit to being on. Maybe it's a road you shouldn't commit to being on. Count the cost. That really is the language that he's talking about here. Jumping into the Christian life because of its promises and blessings is a great incentive if you're following along with the notes. But we should remember the difficulties will come our way. And the question is, will our faith and obedience endure those times? This situation we're living through right now is really unprecedented in the lifetimes of everybody living, for the most part. And challenges like this can cause you to question God, to push away from God, or they can challenge you to draw near to Him, to secure your faith and trust in Him even through these difficulties. If you haven't noticed already, we were discussing in one of our virtual staff meetings this past week, just about the stages of grief that people are experiencing through loss of jobs, with teenagers through loss of part of their school year. In some cases, potentially the graduation experience, the senior year or the prom, opportunities that may bleed into the summer with some of our ministries, mission trips and opportunities. Those stages of grief They happen now. They happen for many of us. We've seen them in our past. They will happen to us in the future. And Jesus is reminding us that persevering as women and men and children of faith, sticking to our commitments to be disciples through tough times can be a hard thing. Jesus asks hard things of us. And sometimes that's a reason for people to oppose him and walk away from him. But I want you to remember that he has always said it will be such. He's always said, he never said that being a disciple and following him would always be easy. He asks hard things of us, and this is another case in point. Third and lastly, from Luke chapter 14, if you'll turn back to Luke chapter 12, just some episodes in this period of teaching in Luke 12. I want to look at verse 4, verse 8, verse 22, and verse 33. He's teaching the crowds. In verse 4, he says, "I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more." Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body. Verse 8, "I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God." Whoever acknowledges me before others, is willing to be persecuted because of me, or mocked or looked down on because of me. Moving ahead, verse 22, he says, "I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear." Do not worry about these simple, basic essentials. And then verse 33, towards the end of that section, he says, "Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys." If you'd like to do some more reading this week, you can read that entire chapter, Luke chapter 12, and get some more context on those points. But as I was reading through that, I just thought, all of these difficult things Jesus asks us to do, in that chapter, there's several. He tells us to not worry. He tells us to not be afraid. He tells us to not be selfish. Being a disciple means living a life so that our faith continues to grow and develop to a place where worry and fear and selfishness begin to be minimized in our life. Our inclination to worry and to be afraid, they are part of our human, the fiber of our being, part of our nature. And so this doesn't come easy. In a time like this, to not worry, to not be afraid for yourself, for your family, for your community, for your country, for our world. I'll confess, there have been moments of worry for me. There have been moments of fear for me. And there's always a tug of war in my mind and in my spirit as I look at the world and what's going on, and it causes me to worry. And then I go back to God and I'm reminded that God is in control. This may not go away without causing ramifications. We know that it will cause ramifications on many people. But we also know that situations like this can bring out the very best in people, that God can use it for good, as we talked about last week. It's this challenge to let my faith be bigger than my fear, to let my faith be bigger than my worry. And it's a practice. We have to practice doing that. It does not come naturally for us. And the reality is, when we don't fear and when we don't worry, or when our fears and our worries begin to lessen, it frees us up to not be as selfish. It frees us up to reach out to others, to give to others, to help others, because we're not as concerned with our own security, our own comforts. In a season like this, where as believers we have to be taking care of ourselves, we have to be safe, we have to be healthy, and we also have to do our best to be the church and extend help to others, there are all kinds of challenges that we have to deal with. And I believe as a church community thus far, we've really done a nice job and are continuing to do our very best. But Jesus has called us to not worry, to not fear, to not be selfish. And all of those are hard things to do. Every one of them, hard things to do. So Here's some thoughts for you as we wrap up our message time today that I want you to take with you. First of all, sometimes life itself forces us to do hard things. Sometimes it's not about being a disciple. It's just about being a human in this world. And this is the case. Life is forcing all of us to do something difficult in this moment, and this will not be the only one. In that case, what I would ask you to consider is, how does being a disciple of Jesus cause us to walk through this difficult season differently? How might we do it otherwise? How does our perspective on Jesus and our commitment to Him lead us to live this life out in the present, in this current crisis? Maybe that's a good conversation topic for you with a small group of friends or with your family, but that's something for you to consider. And a second thought for you to take with you this week is, can you think of occasions where your discipleship has called you to do something difficult? The act of being a Christian brought you face to face with doing something that was hard. And if you can think of some cases like that, I want you to consider perhaps a case where you said, no, this is too hard, I'm not going to do it, I don't want to do it. And in doing so, we oppose Jesus. Maybe it's the right thing to do, but we said no. And in that, we are passive critics of the life that He's called us to live. But then I also want you to think about a case where you said yes. The Christian life brought you to a point of doing something challenging, difficult, sacrificial even. And because of your faith, because of who you are in Christ, you said yes, you agreed to do that. Think about those. And if you have opportunity, I would encourage you to share them with people, maybe just in your circle of influence as you have opportunity to over the next week. So Jesus asks us to do hard things. That's a reason for opposition from some, and for others, it's just a reality. It's a recognition that we are growing, we are transforming into something that's different than who we naturally are, and growth can be hard, and yet we do what we can to embrace it. So I want to encourage you in that this week. Would you join me as we pray? We'll wrap up our message time together. Pray for you and for our church family and all of those that are suffering throughout our world today. Father, we certainly have offered many prayers in light of the current coronavirus situation. Christian brothers and sisters of ours throughout the world that are being challenged with following you during difficult times. Our prayer is for health and safety everywhere. Our prayer is for strength and perseverance, especially for those in the medical world that are providing care, for those in leadership that are trying to make wise decisions, in leadership at every level of our country and of our world, and even just our own community here. We pray for wisdom. We pray for cooperation. And God, we pray that this season will come and go as quickly as possible. We recognize that it's here. We recognize it will not be fast. We hope and pray that we will continue to be your people and be a light during this season. But our prayer is that that the number of lives that this is taking would begin to slow and even cease, and that you would help us to move forward quickly. May we learn lessons, valuable lessons as a society, as a country, throughout all of this. And may you be present even in the midst of this great, great difficulty. Lord, we love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for tuning in and joining us this week. We hope you guys have a safe and blessed week. Please let us know how we can minister to you or if we can be of any help. So take care.
On Him, and I will sing. morning, we just remember that our God is faithful, our God is good, and our God is true. And even on those days and on those mornings when we stumble in our faith, as we walk with Him, we remember that He is faithful. Even when we can't see it, and even when we don't know exactly what He's doing, our God is faithful, and He is in control, and He is on the throne today. In your life, in this church. So let's declare this one more time.
There wasn't a day that you weren't by my side.